Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey everyone, it's Boomer and Geo, and if you're into New York sports or you want straight talk about what's really going on in the sports world, Boomer and Geo is your show.
We're covering it all. Yankees wins, Giants drama, national headlines, and whatever chaos the day brings on the field and off.
No filler, no filters, just real conversation, and believe me, plenty of laughs every weekday morning.
We don't hold back, and we don't waste your time. We get to what actually matters.
That's Boomer and Geo, and you can listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And when you hear that very special Yankee sounder, the first caller in will receive tickets to see the Yankees against the Red Sox. So we got all that coming up, plus Tiki will analyze what Pete Alonso said yesterday and more of your calls at 888-808-1019. But it is Cinco time.
Cinco de Fivo with Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
Cinco de Fivo is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything, everywhere. The dust is beginning to settle on the 2025 Mets, and I'm not ready to declare where they will eventually exist on the following list. So understand that going in, they will be exempt from this, but these are the teams that they will be compared to. The five biggest embarrassments in New York sports history.
Oh, man.
And obviously, recently.
Okay. I can name a few very recently.
Right. Here we go.
Here we go!
Number five.
I'm going with the 2010 Giants in here, who were en route to a division title, only have a total implosion with a big lead at home versus the Eagles. That final punt, DeSean Jackson changed everything. Yeah. They followed that up the next week with still control of stuff and got blown out in Green Bay. They end up missing the playoffs entirely, despite the fact that they won 10 games. The 2010 Giants, one of the biggest disappointments.
Mm. What's Matt Dodge doing these days?
Mm. I looked it up. He's in some kind of finance job.
Good for him.
Yeah. I feel bad for him.
Do you think like once a week when someone meets him, they're like, wait a second, are you that crappy punter that almost caused Tom Coughlin to...
It depends on if he's in New York.
Ah, yeah. Or Philadelphia.
He's not anywhere. If he's back home, I don't know where he's from, but if he's back home somewhere, I doubt it.
Matt Dodge and Steve Bartman walk into a bar.
Brutal. Matt Dodge plays anywhere else but New York. He probably has a career punting. Okay, here we go.
Number four.
The 2007 Mets. You walk in anywhere and you hear 7 up, 17 to play. Mm. It is a number that lives in infamy.
100%. And it was a signal of what was to come. They choked the following year, and then they wouldn't see the playoffs again for nearly a decade.
All right, here we go.
Number three.
It's the 2023 Jets. I mean, has this station ever been in such a frenzy for 4 months going into a football season about something only for it to go poof in four plays? Mm.
Yeah, I include both years, 23 and 24, the Aaron Rodgers era. Okay. Because even if the hype wasn't exactly the same the following year, there was a lot of hope that at least at the bare minimum, we'd get playoff football for the first time.
No, I think you have to lump those two together.
Yep.
Because year two was, okay, well, that sucked, but it's going to be better in year two.
Right, especially with the way the defense played in year one and the fact they were in games.
And it wasn't.
Yep. All right, speaking of lumping things together, here we go.
Number two.
The entire Durant-Kyrie Nets era as a whole. Obviously, specifically what happened in the spring of 2021, but what could have been without those injuries?
That's a hard one to say embarrassment because it was circumstances, but
Tiki.
Collectively it was an embarrassment.
I mean, come on. Circumstances don't matter sometimes.
They don't, but I mean, it was everything.
It was... You're so right, it was everything because it was... They were going to do it in 21. And then both Kyrie and James Harden get hurt, and Kevin Durant's tiny little toe is a little bit too big.
Yes.
And then the following year, it's the rules in this city around the pandemic.
Right.
Because if Kyrie is available to play, A, he's playing, and B, James Harden probably never demands a trade. Mm-hmm. There's an alternate history here where things at least go much, 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 much better.
COVID ruined the Nets. All right, here we go.
Number one.
And the biggest embarrassment in New York sports history, and this one I think is going to be forever at top, the 2004 Yankees.
Look at you. You actually put them up there.
I mean, they had to be.
They blew a 3-0 series lead, and this is why what's about to happen this week is so important for the Yankee franchise. They changed the rival that they have in the Boston Red Sox, it was a total reverse of fortune between
they changed history. Mm-hmm. I agree with that. And it's weird and it's unexplainable, but you're right. Like, the way we viewed Yankees Red Sox prior to 2004 is so different. It's like we have to create a term to talk about AC and BC. Wait, that's a coincidence. Before collapse and after collapse. It's very different. Yeah. That was just coincidental. I didn't mean to have C be the letter, but it seems to work. Like, the BC New York Yankees Red Sox rivalry was a hammer and nail.
Mm-hmm.
And the AC Yankees Red Sox rivalry is also a hammer and nail, except the Red Sox the hammer.
I think it's ATC, after Tony Clark. I think that's what I'm going with.
That's what you're going to define it as?
I think so. Everybody has those little moments from that season.
That was the ball that bounced into foul territory.
Yes, exactly.
So a run didn't score.
Yep.
All right.
Change that. There you go.
It's a very good list. Earlier, I guess it was this morning, I tweeted out specifying the three. What was the most pathetic disaster was the way I phrased it.
Yep.
And I had this year's Mets, the Aaron Rodgers Jets, and the Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving Nets. And before I even hit send on that tweet, I thought to myself, I know the Mets are going to dominate just based on recency bias. Because here's the thing about collapses. What really defines a collapse is what happens next. Mm. If the Mets in 2008 won the World Series, what would we be saying about the 2007 collapse? What would we be saying?
You probably don't think about it really that much at all. It's a footnote to the bigger story.
It's like the Red Sox in 03. They lost on an Aaron Boone walk-off home run in what to them was a collapse in Game 7.
Right.
Well, they followed up the next year by coming back from 3-0 down and winning the World Series.
Yeah. It's also like UVA 2013.
Yes. Being at one seed to a 16 and then winning the national title the next
That's
year.
That's right.
I agree with you. And I think what Rodgers and Durant did is both franchises got completely derailed. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously the Nets to the umph degree is they're going to be rebuilding for another decade. And even the Rodgers Jets, look where we are now.
Right.
We don't know about the future Mets. We don't. And as down as we all are today, I think there is a hope with a billionaire owner who came out and apologized to his fans today that the Mets may not win a championship next year, but there still are good times ahead. That it won't lead to what happened with the Rodgers Jets and the Durant Nets, where you go into the wilderness for a long time.
Let's hope not.
Let's hope not. Let's hope not.
Right.
Speaking of which, we'll hear from Pete Alonso in a few minutes, but let's get back to your telephone calls. Let's go to Ozzy in Woodridge. What's up, Oz?
Hey, Ozzy.
A eulogy, if I may?
Of course. Go ahead.
I'll never forget this being the year I was alive for my 50th year. This was the year Positive Tommy died without even a whimper.
Positive Tommy.
Mets offense yesterday. In South Park, they killed Kenny. Here, they killed Positive Tommy. They being Frank the Tank, of course. Kenny keeps returning to be killed again. Some would say he is unkillable.
No biggie.
Positive Tommy is killable and was yesterday. Positive Tommy is dead to me forever. But Kenny is just fictional, a la the comic book and movie superheroes and villains and storylines. Tommy bases his quote-unquote knowledge of sports on. Beware, sports fans. He killed the Knicks and the Mets 2 years running. He killed Cutlets. And now he has hitched his wagon to Jackson Dart.
Mm. So you're telling us that we should be wary,
yeah,
as Giant fans.
I think
is that
so.
What you're saying,
yeah.
Didn't he go into the tent again yesterday?
Yeah,
after
but it was temporary.
Maybe concussion issues. I might have raised.
I mean,
before.
I
Ozzy,
hope-
worry about your tie to the Green Bay Packers.
He does make you worried that everything Positive Tommy touches eventually does die.
Well, he hasn't inflicted the Positive Tommy-ness on the New York Giants.
That's true. So Jackson Dart.
Only start Dart.
The Dart.
Only start Dart.
Dart may be exempt. I enjoyed that tie last night. I have to tell you, I'm a big tie guy. And the reason I like ties is tie breakers are very confusing. And when you throw in a tie at the end of the season, it simplifies it.
Yeah.
So the Green Bay Packers are no longer going to be subject to crazy tiebreakers unless they're tied for Dallas.
Unless someone else. Yeah, exactly. Unless that's the actual game that it comes down to.
Right.
How would that work? It would then go to division?
Yeah, it would follow the same lines as if they split the season series the way division rivals do,
right,
or you never played the team. But I enjoyed that game. And I said this for a while. When they moved,
it was high scoring. It was 40-40.
Scorigami.
Right, but think about...
Is that really a score, Gami?
Never had a 40-40 game.
But that's not a...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey everyone, it's Boomer and Geo, and if you're into New York sports or you want straight talk about what's really going on in the sports world, Boomer and Geo is your show.
We're covering it all. Yankees wins, Giants drama, national headlines, and whatever chaos the day brings on the field and off.
No filler, no filters, just real conversation, and believe me, plenty of laughs every weekday morning.
We don't hold back, and we don't waste your time. We get to what actually matters.
That's Boomer and Geo, and you can listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Surprise considering how many ties there have been.
Oh, that's true.
Like,
that's
most ties have a chance to be a scoregami. But think about the way the game ended.
Yeah, most ties don't end in ties.
Right.
Tie regular season, a regular time, don't end in ties.
And yeah, we also didn't, but the other thing was, it wasn't the new overtime rule. It was the fact that there's only 10 minutes on the clock in overtime, and each team took up so much time with drives that there was no time left.
Right. That's why they need to have second overtime. I'm just kidding. That would take forever. Sports Talk on WFAN is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today.
Dan in Connecticut. Hey, Dan.
Hi. I would just like to quickly talk about the Mets and how I don't think they're going to make it to the the playoffs until the 2030s. Because if you look at the history of this team, if you look at the history of this team, they only make it once or twice per decade. So Steve Cohen can say all the nice words he wants, but I won't believe it until I see it. And I've said this with a couple other hosts, like Keith McPherson and Lori Robinson, and they both said I had Wilpon PTSD and called me crazy. But look, we're the...
No. It's not even Wilpon PTSD, though you do, and I give Lori and Keith credit for diagnosing you correctly.
Yeah.
Here's the other thing you're forgetting, even though it didn't work out this year. It doesn't take much to make the playoffs, which is what made this year so pathetic. So, like, if you win 85 games, which, trust me, the Mets have done in their history plenty of times, you'll make the playoffs. So it isn't just the Wilpon PTSD that you have, that this is going to usher in a dark age of Met history. It's the fact that we do live in an expanded playoff world, which is why this was so pathetic, Teague. And I'm glad Gary Cohen on that broadcast yesterday, when it all ended, brought that up as part of the shock.
He had to, because it's shocking. It's just the second half of the season post June, July 13th or whatever the heck the date is, they were 17 games below 500. You're not supposed to make the postseason. You weren't good enough.
Let's go to Adam and Selden. Adam.
What's up, guys? How we doing?
All's good.
Not good here. So, I heard a gentleman call before and say that as a Yankees fan and Giants fan, he was in a good mood. Well, as a Mets fan and Giants fan, I'm still in a bad mood. And let me also say, Tiki, that I'm also waiting for Doctor Who to come back. So problems there, but that's not for here.
Right.
So as a Mets fan, obviously I'm depressed. Now, you would think as a Giants fan, I have a little solace. However, what I saw yesterday really is kind of as Evan laid it out. I said to some of my buddies, we won. Dart looked great. But you know what? He was running again. And that's the same thing with Jones. And everyone gets really pumped up when guys run and make plays. The point is he's not going to be able to do this forever.
Yeah, you got to learn how to run to stay healthy.
We need better play calling.
You got to run to stay healthy. Josh Allen has figured out how to do it because this is, what, year 7 or 8?
18, so 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 8.
Year 8 for Josh Allen, and for the most part, he's been healthy. I think he's missed some games, a couple games here or there, but for the most part, he's been healthy. So he's figured it out. But Lamar Jackson, we talked about this a bit earlier, how many games has he missed in his 8-year career? A lot. It's a lot more than Josh Allen.
It's a tough balance. How do you balance the aggressiveness, losing your legs as a weapon, not cutting down on play calls because you're afraid of being hurt, but also staying on the field.
100.
It's going to be one of the challenges.
It is. I mean, Mike Kafka's got his work cut out for him.
Let's go down to the scene of not only the crime of yesterday, of the Mets losing, but the scene of hope tonight as the New York Jets try to get their first win of the year against the hated Miami Dolphins. Dion is down in Miami. What's up, Dion?
What's up, gentlemen? I'm stuck in traffic here. I flew down yesterday, but I think I'm going to regret it. I just don't have the faith in my Jets that they can beat another 0-3 team in Miami. I actually had a nightmare that they ran a fake spike just to run it in.
Wow, you're torturing yourself, Dion. I mean, come on.
I don't blame you, bro. I want to be confident because, A, I think your season's on the line. And I know we said that last week, too, but when you're 0-3, it's bad. When you're 0-4, you're dead as a doornail. Yeah. And this is a division rival. It's not just a division rival. It's a division rival in Miami who's given up, what, 97 points over the first 3 weeks of the season? They're with a coach on the hot seat. My biggest fear going into tonight, and we'll make predictions in a little bit, is can they stop them?
Right.
This Jet defense, A, is undermanned with Quincy Williams being out now, which is a huge blow. But B, their secondary's been abysmal. It's been atrocious. Does that change tonight? And considering some of the weapons that Sauce is going to be forced to chase and Brandon Stevens is going to be forced to chase, I have a tough time believing they're going to hold him down. And this is a weird opinion to have about the Jets, but this is the reality. They're going to have to win this game 35-32.
Yeah, it's going to have to be a shootout. And the question is, can Justin Fields actually do that? Right? Into it he is right now coming off concussion. He might still be feeling effects. I have no idea. I'm assuming he's cleared. But once you get one of those, you kind of always think about it, especially when it's early in the season. So is he going to be willing to be a runner like he needs to be in order to have this offense be somewhat productive? I don't know. So there's a lot of question marks about this Jet offense with Justin Fields coming back to be the quarterback.
We're going to go specific and make our picks right up at 6 o'clock. Also coming up in the next 38 minutes, you will hear a sound, and the first person to call in successfully will win a chance or win tickets to see the New York Yankees against the Boston Red Sox. More of your calls coming up. Plus, we listened to what Pete Alonso had to say yesterday, and Tiki is very good at reading what athletes say. Does it mean anything? Did Pete tell us his future? Suffer enough from watching the Mets choke away a playoff spot. Good news. The Jets play on a Monday night. They're actually playing the early Monday night game tonight with the non-A crew. So it's a 7:15 kickoff. We don't get the traditional Monday night football announcers.
Who do you have?
I don't even know. Who are our announcers, Sean?
I believe it is Chris Fowler and Dan Orlovsky.
Oh, my God.
The guys that didn't know who John Cena was. That's the crew game tonight.
That is...
I do like Orlovsky, though.
Okay. I mean, this is just, why put us on Monday Night Football if we're not really on Monday Night Football? But hey, if you win the game, I love Chris Fowler. If you win the game, I love Dan Orlovsky. More on the game a little bit later on. And remember, WFAN NFL football is powered by Verizon. Tiki, you have a knack for explaining to us the truth of what a player really meant.
Yes, I do.
So I want to play for you three clips from yesterday. This is Pete Alonso after it all ended, all was over. And Pete was, you know, very open and honest, talking about what went wrong. And then the topic moved to his future. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And the first question and answer was, hey, Pete, what are your thoughts on your future with the New York Mets? Take a listen.
No, I mean, I've definitely thought about it and be great. But again, we'll see what happens with everything. I mean, again, there's no guarantees. But for me, like I've appreciated it here, and the fans have been awesome. I mean, I've grown up in this organization, and what I've done here. I mean, I'm really proud of the mark I've left. I've want to be the best teammate and best player I possibly can be, not just for the people here, but for the franchise and for the fans. So, it'd be great. But again, we'll see what happens.
A lot of Met fans were bothered by the past tense in which Pete spoke.
It is past tense because he's already done it. I know what he's saying. He's saying, and this is almost coached. It sounds coached. Like, say it in a very specific, appreciative manner, but don't give an indication that's going to put you at a disadvantage with negotiating with the owner. That's what it sounded like. But I do think he's being honest. Not like he's being deceitful. He's just saying, I enjoyed my time here. You know, it's great being a Met. Fans were great, et cetera, et cetera.
And the you never know part is, what if a team offers him 7 years, $250 million?
Well, nobody's offering him that.
I know that, but I'm pointing out that that's how you never know. Because the Mets aren't going to match that, and he'll be gone. And he'll be playing somewhere else.
4 years, 120. Mets do that?
How much does that add up to per year?
30.
I'm struggling with
30.
Math.
It's 30 a year.
Would I do that?
Yeah.
Yes, I would do that. I don't know if the Mets would, though. I mean, you heard David Stearns earlier today talking about run prevention and defense. And unless they plan on signing him and DHing him a lot over the next 4 years, I'm not sure they do that. And then I wonder, do they view a DH or a most of the time DH at $30 million a year until he's 35 years old?
But there's a value. There's a fan value, which also David Stearns acknowledges and even said so.
That is true.
That Pete Alonso and Edwin Diaz are fan favorites, and that calculus comes into decisions that you're going to make regarding how much you're paying and what your roster is going to look like. And if Pete Alonso is not on this team, then there's some players or some fans who he's their favorite player, right?
No.
Some kids who had his jersey since they were 8 years old. So I don't. It's interesting to think about what's going to happen if they don't sign Pete Alonso.
I agree. I think it'd be fascinating. I think they'd almost have to go out and pivot and get another star player, especially coming off of such a disappointing year.
But the question is, who is that star player?
I mean, the two that jump out at me are Bregman or Schwarber, and I'm not convinced either one is truly a better option.
Yeah, and then what are you doing at first base?
Yeah, I think to get in the weeds on both, I think if it's Bregman, you're moving a Mark Vientos over there. Maybe even Brett Beatty learns how to play. I don't know. Ryan Clifford, who's in the minor leagues. Right. I think you probably go more internal than anything else.
Right.
And you're just upgrading yourself at third base. Listen to this second one. So this is the sequence where he's asked point blank, will you opt out? He answers it. And the follow-up is, in case you can't hear it clearly, what are you looking for in free agency? This one was hilarious to me. So here it is. Pete, will you opt out? And the follow-up, what are you looking for in free agency?
Yes.
What's going to matter the most to you in free agency?
it's a good question. I mean, I think the biggest thing is
money.
Like, I want to win. You know, okay. I
want
to win.
I want
to be able to. I mean, I know we didn't this year, but we had the right pieces. I think we just didn't do it. So for me, I think at the beginning of the year, you just want to have the best possible chance to hold up the trophy at the end and see yourself being a champion. So for me, like that's so I do this. I want to be on top of the mountain. I want to win a World Series. So for me, that's the ultimate goal.
All right, he stabilized that answer.
He couldn't answer it at first.
I know he stabilized that answer because he didn't. You know what he wanted to say? He wanted to say long-term security, a la money. And then he pivoted to, yeah, you know, I want to win. I'd come out here and win. I want to get a championship. That's not really what it is. It's money.
Well,
money first, championship after.
I was thinking about this.
Give me what I've earned.
I was thinking about this last night. How can Pete and everybody else be honest about the answer without sounding like a pig?
You can't.
So, watch. I figured it out. Can you ask me, Evan, what are you looking for in free agency?
What's most important for you in free agency?
Look, here's the reality. I think that in our business, I'm talking as an athlete now, in our business, it's respect and it's appreciation. And the biggest way an organization can show you that respect and show you that appreciation is financially. It shows you how much they think of you. And not only that, I also look at it as a way to pay it forward. Because I know there are going to be players after me who may be better or just as good who are going to want to get paid. And they're going to want to take care of generations of their family members. And so for me, I'm going to be blunt with you guys. It's respect. And respect is about money and financial security and making sure that my kids and my kids' kids and my kids' kids' kids are all taken care of. And I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I know there's going to be a lot of people hearing me right now that think I'm being a selfish pig. I'm just being honest with you. And I love the Mets. I don't feel they properly appreciated me last year. And I love them, and we're going to get a new crack at this, and hopefully things work out. What's wrong with that answer?
That's deep and detailed, and I don't think Pete can handle that kind of answer.
If I gave that answer as an amazing professional athlete, would I take criticism?
No, because you're just being real.
Yeah. And I framed it with the whole respect thing.
Right. You're being real without being greedy, without sounding greedy. You are being greedy, but you're not. You don't sound greedy. Seriously, you sound like it, so it makes sense to the average listener. I need respect, and respect because, comes with a big check.
Because that's the answer.
Mm-hmm.
That's the answer. The answer is I want to get paid. That's the bottom line. This DH thing is going to be fascinating, too, because he does not like the aging. But you know what? If you show him enough respect with money, mm-hmm. you can put him anywhere in the lineup, and he'll probably say, thank you, sir, and may I have another. Let's get back to your calls. 888-808-1019. Jets Dolphins in about an hour and a half. Jody is in Warren, New Jersey. What's up, Jody?
Hey, guys. That's Tom Brady here. just quickly, first of all, Tiki, you know, because my wife loved you so much, she did buy me a Collins & Co. shirt. I don't work for the company, nor am I associated, and I do like it.
I appreciate that. That's awesome.
Two things. Tiki, as a huge Mets fan, you know, I don't have much less to root for, but I will be rooting for the Jets tonight. Tomorrow morning, you wake up, you didn't watch the game. What do you envision the score to be? That's number one question. And too quickly, and I'll hang up. Evan, who do you root for now in baseball? Like, is there one team you would like to see win the World Series? You guys are the best. I'll hang up and
appreciate
listen.
You. If I just close my eyes and quickly did the sim game in my head, Jets, Miami Dolphins, I'm saying 20-13.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I'd be stunned.
Jets.
Well, thank you for that. That's much needed. I don't see how this defense is holding them to 13 points. I don't see it.
I just feel the Miami Dolphins feel less polished mm-hmm. than they have in previous years. Okay. Now, maybe they get it together because it's week four, but they just haven't looked polished.
Interesting.
Something feels off with this team.
I hope you're right. I envision, and Tiki has forgotten more football than I'll ever know. I think it's a high-scoring game. I think they're both in the put it this way. The Jets are giving up over 30. If they're going to win, they got to score over 30. Hmm. And his question about who I'm rooting for in the baseball playoffs, I'm a complicated figure. I don't want teams to end long droughts because then I get jealous.
Yeah.
So if the Cleveland Guardians win a World Series, I'll be jealous. Even the Detroit Tigers, who last won their most recent World Championship 2 years before the Mets, 1984, I'd be jealous. So I don't want them to win. And if a team wins too often, I don't want them to win. So the World Series I am rooting for is a World Series between two teams that have never won, the Milwaukee Brewers and the Seattle Mariners. Thank you. Thank you very much. And I won't mind the Padres either. But the Padres bother me a little bit more because they kind of are weird cousins to the Mets based on the fact they never had a no-hitter for a long time. They came into the league in 1969. But what? I think I'm going for... Yeah, the year the Mets won the World Series.
I get it. That is such a stretch.
Well, I'm just giving you my answer.
Just say Yankees, dude.
Well, I'm not rooting for the Yankees to win the World Series. I am rooting for them to beat the Red Sox. I can't stand the Red Sox. Actually, I'm not sure what I'm rooting for. I'm just going to be an IBO. I'm going to be there. I'm going to be independent-minded. I think the Yankees will win. But he asked me what I'm rooting for, Mariners Brewers.
But, Evan, a team never winning a World Series is the same thing as a drought.
It doesn't bother me as much.
Really?
Yeah.
To me, I consider it the same thing as a drought. It's just a 50-year drought. For all we know, they won a World Series 53 years ago.
I know, and listen, this is one of those things. I appreciate Teak. I appreciate you, Tommy, trying to argue with me. There's nothing to argue. It's just my dumb feelings.
Okay.
They're not based on anything other than that's my dumb feelings. When I sit there for the next 3 weeks, that's what I'm rooting for.
Right.
So you all can poke as many holes in it as you want. That's my honest answer. How about you, Positive Tommy? Who are you rooting for?
Well, you bring up a great point here. I think six out of the top eight longest droughts are in the postseason right now. And then, of course, obviously you have the Red Sox, the Cubs, the Phillies, and the Yankees. I'll pull for the little guy here. I will go... Did you go Padres-Mariners?
No, I said Mariners-Brewers.
Okay, I'm going to go Padres-Mariners.
So you're on the same side as me.
I am. I just think that you're wrong in saying that those teams aren't on droughts. They've never won. No, I'm not saying they aren't on droughts.
They're not on a drought in terms of they haven't won anything. So... I guess we're parsing words
we are,
here.
That's
my point is it doesn't bother me as much when they've never won.
I could also get down with like a David versus Goliath, a team that's won a lot. Gee, I don't know if you can think of one, versus a team that's never won before. I think that's a fascinating dichotomy. We didn't get it Yankees-Cubs that 1 year.
You want a Yankees-Brewers World Series?
Not really, no.
Yankees-Padres World Series?
Take it back.
I'm rooting for Yankees-Reds.
Why do you think that bothers Met fans?
No, I just think all I've heard about was Yankees.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
He's Reds World Series before I was born. I think that's a cool, different one.
Gotcha. Because you said to me last week, would the Reds going on a run bother you? And I said, no. Right. In fact, the Reds are
because
one of those.
The Reds are the ones that kept the Mets out. Really, yeah. The Mets kept themselves out.
Completely.
I gotcha.
It does not bother. I am rooting heavily for the Cincinnati Reds to beat the LA Dodgers. Mm-hmm. And there won't be this regret that, oh, it could have been us. Like, I already know it could have been us.
Right. It could happen.
And I think it will happen.
I mean, if Hunter Green wins game one?
He's going to.
All right.
I'm telling you right now, Reds are taking game one. I'm making predictions. I made you my Yankee Red Sox prediction already. Reds are taking game one. I've already placed the bet. Like, I'm not even joking on the FanDuel app.
Well, we believe you, man. Calm down.
No, I'm really passionate about it. And it won't bother me. Now, I think people like yourself, Sean, no offense, will try to use it as something to bother Met fans. And I can't speak for other Met fans. I mean, other people may be annoyed by it. I'm rooting for the Reds. It proves my point that we've argued about that. Right. Just get in, you know? So
yeah, just get in and lose.
I have no, but I don't think they will. That's my point. I'm talking about rooting for them.
Oh, you think the Reds would beat the Yankees in the World Series?
I just said they could beat the Dodgers.
He's talking about the National League. He has nothing. That's zero to do with the Yankees.
Well, they'd have to win. Like, think about this, Sean. Here's why you're so wrong. If the Reds beat the Dodgers and then followed that up by beating the Phillies, right? That's what their roadmap is.
Sure.
And now they're in the LCS, and whoever they beat, the Cubs, the doesn't even matter. You're telling me that team in the World Series, you'd say, oh, they can't beat the Yankees? They just beat the Dodgers, Phillies, and another team.
And right. Here's where Sean
right.
is not a baseball
Brewers,
guy.
Whoever.
Yeah.
Hey, Evan, who's the manager for the Cincinnati Reds?
Frank Cohn.
Remember him?
Yeah,
so
I remember him.
Well, you should, because that would be a manager that I would be scared of to face.
Oh, you know what? You just hit me. I have a new World okay. Series I'm rooting for.
What's
oh,
that?
Reds-Guardians. Battle of Ohio.
Oh.
Terry Francona against Cleveland.
Wow.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm sure Fox is rooting for that.
I'm telling you. How many people have zero interest?
Well, I'm not picking a World Series based on Fox's ratings. If it's all about Fox's ratings, they want one of
them. I'm not even talking about Fox's rating. I'm just talking about American baseball public care.
Yeah.
Care meter.
I think the care meter is, here's what America wants.
Who's the biggest star in that series?
In which one?
Ramirez and...
And Ellie De La Cruz.
He's a big young star.
You
cover of MLB The Show.
I'd watch it because of De La Cruz.
Thank you.
I do like him.
If it's based on like star powers of teams, Fox is praying for Yankees Cubs, Yankees Dodgers, Red Sox Cubs, Red Sox Dodgers. I think those are the big like
and Yankees Phillies
and Yankees Phillies. You're yeah. right. I can't leave the Phillies out. Yankees Phillies or Red Sox.
Yeah,
Phillies.
But the problem with Yankees Phillies is that the West Coast would be like, okay, whatever.
Yeah, it's true. It's not as appealing to them as Yankees Dodgers or Yankees mm-hmm. Cubs or Red Sox Dodgers. Let's go to AJ in Tenafly. What's up, AJ?
Hey, AJ.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Great show. I've never really been a big Alonzo guy, and I would not like to see them commit long years to him. 3 points, and I'll take them chronologically. Alonzo has always struck me as a me-first player. It hit me for the first time with his bizarre obsession with the home run derby, which I never really understood at the beginning of his career, like why he cared so much about that. This year, he had... I mean, I can count on half of one hand the number of big hits he had. I think he was living off the moment from last year. And when he came up in that big spot in the last game, in game 162, I said to my two sons who I was watching the game with, I have zero confidence he's going to come
AJ,
through.
AJ, with all due respect, I have to cut you off because when you say, I can count on one hand the amount of big hits Pete Alonso had this season, you are doing one of two things. You are either admitting you haven't watched the Mets this year, or you're lying. Because you know that's not true. And AJ sounds like a good guy, so I hope neither is the case, that he does watch the Mets, and he wasn't lying. So I'm going to chalk it up to you're emotional.
But to actually come on the radio and accuse the one player who all year long has been consistently clutch as not being clutch is very disingenuous.
Yep. Yeah, because he has been. He's been the one guy all season long, basically, who you could count on. The problem is everybody else around him had these moments of ineffectiveness. And you just can't win that way.
I think that's a fair critique of Juan Soto.
100%.
Juan Soto had a great statistical season, okay? Great statistical season. Finished incredibly strong. But he lacked the big moments a lot, including game 162 when he bounced into a double play with two men on base.
And for a guy who is so discerning at the plate, mm-hmm. meaning focus, detailed, it's all about waiting for the right pitch, taking the walk if you have to. He led the league, led Major League Baseball in walks this year. He hit 257 or 258 or whatever the heck it was. Or maybe it was 261. Whatever. It felt like a non-Juan Soto batting average.
You know, it's all right there in front of us.
That is your cue to call. Be the first caller at 866-540-WFAN. That's 866-540-9326 for your chance to win your way in and score a pair of tickets to see King Aaron Judge and the Yankees host the rival Boston tomorrow for game one of the wild card in the Bronx. It's all brought to you by the New York Yankees and your station for Yankees Talk, postseason tickets in every postseason game, WFAN. Keep it locked here and don't miss your next chance to win tomorrow with Boomer and Geo in the morning.
Yes, this is going to be a lot of fun, and we'll spend a lot of time previewing every aspect of Yankees-Red Sox meeting in the postseason yet again. And I will give you this factoid, Tiki Barber.
Mm-hmm.
The New York Yankees versus the Boston Red Sox is the only rivalry in all of baseball that has played each other in an LCS, in a division series, in a wild card game, and now a wild card series.
Mm.
How about that?
Wow.
They have played the Red Sox at every level of postseason play. Isn't that crazy?
Who's won those series?
Oh, let's go through it. Well, in the LCSs, they have played three times. Yep. In 1999, the Yankees won in five, the only game they lost, the Pedro game. In 2003, of course, the infamous Aaron Boone series, mm-hmm. in which the Yankees rallied to win game seven in extra innings.
So two out of three.
And, of course, 2004, the collapse.
Yeah, so two out of three in this LCS.
In the division series, it was only one time, and that was 2018, where the Red Sox won in four. And then the wild card game was back in 2021. Me and Big Mac made the trip up to Fenway Park, and the Red Sox won, beat up Garrett Cole that day. And then, obviously, the wild card series.
Now.
So
basically, the Yankees win when it matters the most.
Wow.
Most of the time. And the Red Sox win when it's sub-CS.
When it's sub-CS. I like that term. I'll give you another factoid about this. In the total of series we just mentioned, they've played each other 24 times in individual games. The Yankees and the Red Sox in 24 games,
12-12.
You guessed it, 12-12.
Of course they are.
I'll also throw one more thing at you. The Red Sox have won 8 of the last 9 playoff games against the New York Yankees. Isn't that crazy?
So some might say we're due.
You are very due, mm-hmm. or the trend's going to continue. Take your pick. So those are some of the inside numbers on Yankees Red Sox.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.